This is the Capture Your 365 podcast, a podcast about everyday photography for everyday photographers. This is episode number 9. How many catalogs do you have? Recorded on March 3rd, 2014.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Capture Your 365 podcast. I am excited to be here as we celebrate Capture Your 365's third birthday. Exciting stuff. 3 years. And with me today is my lovely co-host, Kelly Buss. Kelly, do you remember when the site went live 3 years ago?
I do. I signed up that morning. I opened my blog reader and there was your announcement. And I quickly went over, and I think I'm, you know, like one of the under 50 or maybe about the 50th person somewhere there. So I do. I remember exactly.
That's exciting.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Thank you. Well, and happy birthday to you, because, you know, I put it out there, but then everybody else really helped create an amazing community. I'm you know, humbled and completely, completely thankful, grateful that everyone really found something that resonated with them and has made it the community that it's become.
Yeah, I was just so excited. And I remember that first several days, you know, checking all the time to see who's posted a picture, who's adding something, you know, and
yeah.
It's my turn to post. I've got something. Just the excitement of, you know, seeing who was joining, and it was just really fun.
Yeah, and at that point it was really small, so the gallery didn't move as quickly. So you did get to connect to people in a different way. And now it the gallery moves quickly, so you have to really kind of connect every day just to see the movement that's happening.
Yeah. Well, and that's exciting, because I remember, you know, some of those first few months I'd get on, I'm like, oh, there's only one new picture since the last time I was
right here.
There's only two new pictures. You know, I've
exactly commented
on every single picture.
can you even imagine trying to comment on every single picture now?
Oh, there is no way. I can't even click on every single picture. I have to just click on the ones that either just really grab my attention because of what I see in that thumbnail, you know, and that's what I have to go with. And yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to stop in typically a couple of times a day and at least like scroll through that I've had an idea. But, you know, thankfully the favorite post on Facebook and the weekly favorites in the forum help to at least help me see when I skip some of the photos.
Yeah.
So much talent, so many people, and so many people at different levels, which I just love. Cool stuff. So today's episode, I'm excited about. We've got lots of good information, lots of fun conversation, and a topic that people have been asking for a really long time. So I'm going to get to that sponsor message. Today's episode is brought to you by Practice. It is a year-long class available for registration all year. You can jump in at any time, and each monthly lesson has 4 exercises focused around the same subject, and they help you walk through the basics of photography all the way to advanced. So they're, each of the 4 exercises target a little something different. And Kelly, we've finished the first month of aperture and focusing on aperture. And how was that for you? I know you followed all of the exercises.
I did. Well, actually, I didn't do one. I didn't do the one that was on flare.
Okay.
We just didn't have enough sunshine. Whenever I had the day to do it, I just I get that one done. But I did the other 3, and it was just fun. And the first ones, like you said, were such a nice just reminder of walking it through. I tried to raise the bar a bit for me by making sure I was staying in manual. But you don't have to shoot that way. You can shoot very well and just, you know, aperture priority for last month. And I just really enjoyed that. And then I like the more creative ones that were at the end. I've still got the sun flare one to do, and I'm hoping that when it warms up here this weekend, I can get that done. So
Nice, nice. Yeah. You know, I really liked how it brought together people who have more advanced skills with people who have, you know, relatively basic skills, and they really complemented each other and helped each other in the forum. There was lots of great conversation. So lots of excitement with that class too, which is fun.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not too late to join. Come hang out with us. And like you said, they can still do Aperture. People are still posting pictures to Aperture right now. I noticed, I think yesterday, like two were posted. So it's not too late.
Yeah, absolutely. And the lessons are, the past lessons are available to you as well as the webinar recordings. So any point that you jump in, you can just follow right along and go back and make those up if you want, or just head in where we are right now. And in March, we're focusing on shutter speed. So hopefully it'll warm up across the Midwest and the East, and folks will be able to get outside and shoot some. A few of the lessons can be done inside though.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wrote it with the intention that it would warm up, kind of willing it to warm up. So we'll see.
Well, and I think this weekend is daylight savings time.
Oh, that's
so
right.
All of us have that, or in states that participate in that, we'll get that extra hour of sunlight on the evening end, which
right.
makes it so much more helpful for shooting for anything, let alone, you know, for a class trying to get out there and catch that flare. Flare right now is, you know, the sunset when I needed it to be low is dinner time. You know,
right,
so
right.
Quite get out there, but maybe next.
Excellent. Yeah. So that time change will help everybody, hopefully.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So Kelly, do you have any mail for us today?
I do. I have a couple pieces. First from Annette. She says, thanks, Katrina, for sharing the link. That was a link that you shared to her site. She says, cannot tell you how excited I am that you are finding Collect helpful and that it's working for you. Love that idea to have them in a box and then to transfer them to an album. So cool. And yes, it is much easier to print a month at a time. I try to print every 3 to 4 weeks whenever I've got enough to get the price break. Love your podcast too. Keep up the great work. So
awesome. Yeah. That's Annette Herring, and she has a lovely, lovely blog where she talks a lot about her take on Project Life, and has beautiful photos, and definitely worth a follow on Instagram too. She has some beautiful photos on her Instagram account. And we've talked about the Collect app before. I absolutely love the Collect app. It's just made my photo process so much easier, so much more manageable. And I have to say, you know, I put things out there into the world and then I don't do them. And then I have to, you know, like come back and say that I decided not to put them in a box after
okay,
all.
Well. What are you going to do with them?
So I already have tucked them into Project Life plastic sleeves. So there I go again. Like I said, I wouldn't do the plastic, and I did it.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Well, guess what? On my desk right now, and this took every bit of resolve not to text you and say, give me 30 minutes. The mail came right before I got on with you, and it is my box from February. With all of my prints in it, plus 110 12 by 12 prints.
Nice. So all from Persnickety Prints?
All from Persnickety Prints. And I mean, I was just like, oh, I want to open those. So,
I wouldn't have had the self-control you have.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I knew that it had a lot in it. If it just had a little, you know, maybe 10 pictures to look at, but I knew I was just going to spread them out and yeah, I did. They're still in the box where I can enjoy them at my own pace and not feel like I'm inconveniencing you. So,
yeah, so I loved just sitting watching TV with my husband one evening. I just tucked them all in, and I didn't tuck any, you know, Project Life cards or anything like that. It's just solid photos. So it's like a photo album, like an old school album of my Collect app photos. And then I can't remember which page that I used, but it's the one that has all of the 3x4s, right. And then there's one 4x6, and in those 4x6 spots I've decided that I'm gonna print just a 4x6 card with the month, and then I'll print some of the photos from each month a little bit larger, but I'm not going to tuck in any of the 3x4 Project Life cards for 2013. For 2014, I plan on it, and I'm actually going to put 13 and 14 in the same album because it didn't take up all that much space, and I kind of like to, you know, be the minimalist, so if they can all go in one album, that will make my heart very happy.
That is awesome. I'm very excited with this method. I cannot tell you how excited I am that we stumbled on it. We stumbled on it. You know, we've been talking about it, but I'm actually doing it.
And exactly.
It just takes a lot of the decision making out, and it's simple and it's very classic looking. So thanks, Annette, for teaching us how to do that with your cool blog post. And
right.
Yeah.
And I feel completely ridiculous. You know, how I've been doing 365 since 2008. It is the first complete book I've ever printed.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love it. And I love it. And I feel so much more inspired and wish I had taken the time. You know, I've started before. I've got lots of years that are almost done, but I've never gotten them completely done and on my list of things to do.
Well, when I got mine at the end of January, or maybe the first week of February, from the January prints, after I opened them, I felt a little high. I felt like this incredible rush, and I thought, this is so awesome, and I'm looking forward to having that in, you know, an hour or so, and yeah, I'm glad that I'm doing it, like Annette said, every 3 to 4 weeks instead of waiting, because it just, I don't know, I think it's going to be highly motivational.
Yeah. Well, and I think just it'll save you time. It took me a very, very long time to go through 365 photos and get them all uploaded. And I ended up somehow missing a date. So I have to go back and reprint one day. So definitely doing it in smaller chunks. It looks like I was planning on doing it monthly. It looks like I'm going to be doing it every 2 months since I never printed January's. So January and February will go at once.
I'm making a note to ask you about this next podcast.
All right. I always have great intention. Yeah. I always have great intention. I just, you know, I think I manage my time by that philosophy that, like, oh yeah, I can fit that in, and then reality sets in.
Yeah. All right. Next week. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. This one's from Mel, and it's about the exposure class webinar. And she says, that was one of the best webinars, as I learned so much. I wish you would consider having a class with just webinars like that. I would sign up. I learned so much from listening to you and others on what to look for in pictures. Thank you.
Well, this email absolutely made my day. It was that's such a kind thing from Mel, and just, you know, just really glad that the webinars resonated with her. I love doing the webinars. I love being able to do that live discussion with people and see their photos. And, you know, I was in my car with my husband a couple weeks ago. Well, actually, I'm kind of lying. I was in my car with my husband last week.
Okay.
And I said to him, you know, should I buy a camera to give away for Capture Your 365's birthday, since it's coming up, you know, March 4th, that's our 3-year birthday. And he said, well, but, you know, then only one person gets the camera, and yeah, you get the traffic, but that's really not what it's about. And I said, well, yeah, but what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And he said, well, what if you did an all day webinar where you just teach people and cover different topics and connect with everybody all day long? And it was such a good idea. And even though it's last minute and crazy, I decided on March 8th, we are going to have the Capture Your 365 birthday bash.
Woohoo!
Yeah, so we are going to start at 7 a.m. Pacific time. And we are going to give 12 hours. How crazy is that? 12 hours.
That's a lot.
Of content.
That's a lot of time.
So we have videos, we have chats, we have a couple of challenges that will happen in that time, and Kelly is going to be there hosting a couple of the hours, as well as our creative team members will pop in and out, and everything from composition to moving to manual to getting artistic photos. Have I missed anything? Phone photography.
Yeah, phone photography.
101 ideas for everyday photos. I'm excited about that hour. That's going to be a fun hour.
Yeah. Notice I signed up for that one too. I'm like, oh, don't do that. I want to do that one.
So, and the awesome thing is that we're going to do it free. So, the registration link will be in the show notes, and you just have to register for the webinar, and that one registration will get you in for all day long, and you come anytime that you can and be there with us. So it's going to be exciting to see who shows up, and I plan on turning over the mic occasionally through the day to community members so that they can share their perspectives and we can chat and get to know everybody even more. So it's a crazy idea. I'm blaming my husband, but I think it's going to be fun.
I think it's going to be really fun, and I'm looking forward to spending a little more time with different people. Well, anyone who shows up, really.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. It's 12 hours. I think it gives people, you know, they can probably sneak in an hour here or there, I'm guessing. And I know we'll have some diehard folks that are going to be there all day.
Yeah.
But we are going to have some activities through the day so that you're not sitting the whole time. That's my plan. We're going to have a photo scavenger hunt during 1 hour that will get you up and moving and have some special galleries to load your photos to.
Woohoo! It's going to be fun.
It is going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And there may be some other goodies thrown in. We'll just see. We'll just see. Cool. There won't be a recording for anybody who wants to know. Could you imagine like managing that recording? So there won't be a recording. If you're not there live then on Saturday, then we love you, and we'll you'll be in our thoughts. But we're hoping everybody can drop in at some point. So cool. Are you ready to get to the discussion for today, Kelly?
I am.
Awesome. Me too. So today we are going to focus on the using Lightroom for our photos, and specifically focusing on importing and using the library module of Lightroom. It's a big program. There's lots to learn in it. So we're going to dive right in. So I thought it would be interesting just to hear from both of our perspectives, Kelly. Why you originally chose Lightroom? What were you thinking?
Well, I had been using, I'd learned to use Photoshop Elements, and so I had been using, Bridge that comes with it, and I wasn't super happy with Bridge, and then I was messing with iPhoto, and I wasn't super happy with iPhoto, so I was really looking for organization at this point, not editing, and I don't really remember exactly. I think it was probably something maybe you even posted, or I think it was when you came out with some sort of a PDF a long time ago that's not available anymore about using Lightroom or something, that I thought, well, maybe I should see what this is and if it's worth investigating. And so I think I started with Lightroom 3, and that would have been maybe 4.5 years ago or so, maybe 4. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
What about you?
I first started using Lightroom because I was like you. I had started with Photoshop Elements and had dabbled a bit with Bridge, and it always confused me and frustrated me. And then I heard about the beta of Lightroom 2, and so I actually came in with Lightroom 2 on the beta, and I just fell in love with it. It so spoke to my photo-loving heart, and didn't have all of the, you know, the extras that you get in Photoshop or Photoshop Elements, so I could just, you know, focus on the photos. And I loved the library module. I loved how much I could sort, and I could tag, and I could find everything so much faster. And then I did write a tutorial way back in 2009 about using Lightroom. It's, you know, horribly outdated now and no longer available. But, you know, something that just really, really spoke to me. And I still sing the praises of Lightroom. And I think for people who are trying to figure out photo organization, it can really be the step that they need. You know, I do have to go back, though, and share a funny thing. I tried to use the original Lightroom, so the version one, and I got the free trial, and I was baffled. I just looked at it and was like, I don't even get this. This is totally confusing to me. And I deleted it from my computer, and that was it. And it was over a year later that I decided I'm going to try this again. And I think maybe in that year there were more tutorials available. You could Google it and actually come up with something that was a little more helpful. And so it was easier to dive in. And I think I was just ready then. You know, I had used iPhoto a little bit, and it definitely had its limitations. So it just happened at the right time for me. So what version are you using now?
I'm using 5. I belong to the whatever it is, not the whole cloud, but the $9.99 cloud, mm-hmm. where you get Photoshop and Lightroom.
Yeah, that's the photographer's bundle, I believe, so that those two together, which I think, you know, is a scrapbooker's bundle as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I jumped on that, because I have to admit, I'm kind of one of those the latest greatest people. You know, mm-hmm. So as soon as the new version comes out, I don't download it that day. I usually make myself wait a week or two to make sure there's no major bugs that people start finding.
Yeah.
That bothers me. So I'll wait a week. And then I'm like, oh, but it has this new tool. Oh, but it has this new module or whatever. And then I want it. So that photographer's bundle from Adobe is really perfect for people like me, because, you know, that's what, $120 a year. And there's no way I could keep up buying software for $120 a year,
right?
You know, and have the newest and the greatest.
So, yeah, it really is a good bargain when you consider, you know, how often they were updating Lightroom and they were updating Photoshop, and now I think, you know, there's an incentive for them to continue to roll out upgrades, maybe even faster, just because people are now committed to the Creative Cloud. You know, I have almost always been an early adapter, and I definitely live in a house with an early adapter. You know, I'm married to the man that walks around with his Pebble watch and, you know, is super connected and was just, you know, has his Arduino stuff that he, you know, he's trying to like change our whole life so that everything's programmed. But I have held off with Lightroom 5. I'm still on Lightroom 4. And part of it is because I have to make that decision about the Creative Cloud and exactly which bundle I'm getting. I do use InDesign, and I'm on a really old version of InDesign, which meets my needs. You know, ultimately, and I think I've talked about this before with you, that I am going to move to the Creative Cloud. I am going to move to that, to Lightroom 5. I need to move to Lightroom 5 so that I can write some tutorials and put some videos out there for everybody. But I've been hesitant just because I know I want to do some cleanup of my catalogs and just some streamlining of my photo workflow in general. And, you know, I'm waiting for that elusive window when I'll have time to put it all together the way that I want it to be. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As you laugh at me.
No, I'm just thinking that all makes sense, but it also, it's probably not going to happen that way. So it'll probably just come down to they'll release something that you decide you can't, that you really do want in the library module or someplace. And I don't know, because that's going to take quite a bit of time to do all that stuff that you said, I think.
It is. It is going to take quite a bit of time. You know, yeah. I have catalogs dating back to 2008.
Yeah.
I'm looking at probably close to 100,000 photos.
Wow.
Oh, I haven't said that number out loud.
I don't think you haven't. I mean, maybe on somebody else, but wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy, huh?
Yeah.
So I think it's going to take a whole project management approach to do what I want to do.
Probably.
So
probably.
So maybe I need to step back and, you know, use the realistic approach here. I don't know. So let's get into some nitty gritty detail, and I'm sure you and I are going to approach things differently. And as we go through this, you're gonna share with me those features of Lightroom 5 that are going to get me to you know, get on the cloud this afternoon. So let's talk about the typical process that you use when you import photos into the library module, and start from like the moment you've taken your photos and you pop the card out of your camera. What's your next step?
Well, then I open my Lightroom, of course, and go straight to import. Mine doesn't usually trigger import when I put my card in. Some it used to, but it doesn't do that anymore. So I don't know if I've changed the setting or if it's something to do with some setting on my iMac. I'm on an iMac. I don't know. But anyway, so I open up the import, and then I start picking the pictures. Now, I shoot in RAW, and this is, I think, one place we're different. I do change all mine to the DNG file. The DNG file, yeah. So I have copy as DING selected across the top, and that's going to save me a little bit of space. It takes a little bit longer on the front end for importing photo files, especially if you have a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. But I read back and forth, and I thought, well, I'm just going to commit to the DING file and having all of my photos the same, not mattering, you know, what camera I'm in or what I'm shooting in. So I do that. If I have everything on that card is from the same event, then I will keyword that event immediately, because then it will apply it to every picture that I import. So if it's a birthday party or if it was a trip, you know, where I can put San Francisco or something, then I always put that in the keyword right then before I forget. And then I always sort mine by date. So on the far right side where we've got where you can put it, mine is into a subfolder. There's a little spot you click into a subfolder, and then it says organize, and it says by date. And then the date format I do is individual days. So every day has its own file. So,
That's actually really similar to me. I do by date as well. I don't do the DING, and that's, you know, probably not a best practice. That's just what I have done. I have great faith in Canon not going away. Right. You know, the day that they do, and then my version doesn't work anymore, then you can let me know. But the, you know, for people who aren't shooting in RAW, they don't have to worry about that. But for those of you who do shoot in RAW, it's probably a good practice to be in is to do that the DING copy. So when you import, do you wait and do it once a week? Do you do it once a day? How do you tend to do that?
It really depends, honestly. Sometimes I do it every day. If I have time, that's the way I'd rather do it. Mm-hmm. I'd rather do it every single day. But if I know I don't have time to sit down, and my next step after I import is I almost always immediately keyword. Mm-hmm. So if I don't have time to really sit down and spend a few minutes keywording and doing a few of my basic workflow steps, then I won't import them until I know I have that time, because I kind of want to keep it all in one process, or else I forget where I'm at. And then I come back and I go, oh, I missed this whole day of keywording, or, oh, I just, you know, I didn't do this the way I wanted to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just depends. What about you?
You know, for me, it's changed. I used to like to do it daily, and that's just not very practical for me anymore. And the more I use my phone more now, so I don't have a DSLR photo every day on my card. So my photos tend to be more event driven. Or mood driven, where I decide to go out and take a bunch of photos. So I'll have multiple events, multiple days on my card, and then I'll import them when I get a chance. And I don't keyword on import. I know that it saves some time, but because I have so many things in a batch, I just, you know, import them all and then go through and keyword them. And I just learned this new trick for keywording that saves a huge amount of time. If you use the paint can at the bottom, you can actually paint your keywords on. And that was new to me. I had never even played with that feature. I had just been typing them in or, you know, selecting them from the suggestions.
Right.
And but the paint can's been a lot of fun to play with. I also know that another approach that you can take with importing is to only import, do your import in segments so that you keyword a whole segment and then import and then come back and import, do another import for the second segment of keywords. So you're kind of batching them that way. That I don't do it that way, but I know for a lot of people, that is a quick process for them, something that they use as an option. Go ahead.
Well, I was saying, I do that. And, for instance, I'm trying to get a file here so I can make sure I don't leave off something. When I click on the file folder that I'm going to import in, you know, if it's on my disk already or something, but even if it's straight off of my camera card, I have mine clicked across the top. It says either all photos, new photos, or destination folders. And I have destination folders clicked. So I already see my pictures grouped by what day they were taken on.
Oh, okay.
So then I can click the little, you know, checkmark box to unclick a certain day or to only bring in that day worth if I haven't cleared my card or something the day before. Instead of having to manually go through and unselect and select all, I can pick by the day.
Does that nice. Yeah. Sense? Yeah, that
and
does.
And then you can keyword the exact same way. You know, so if you everything on that day was a little bit similar, and that saves me a lot of time, especially if I forget to clear my card and I have all these pictures that I have to go through, you know, unselect and then try to pick the ones I want to reselect. It saves a lot of time if I'm just looking at days. So
that makes sense. Yeah, just that I just have never wrapped my head around that. I get why people do it. It's just not it's not been my practice. And I think that's the beauty of Lightroom. There are so many different ways that you can go about it. And once you kind of figure out the modules, you can dive in and really make it work for you, whatever style that is. One thing that I do almost immediately after I import is I quickly go through and I flag. And I flag my deletes. I don't delete the things that I've flagged to delete, though. And I came up with like the ultimate reason, so that it's not just hoarding, that I can quickly see all of my bad photos so that I could share those in a blog post. But more importantly, it's something that happened last week. I was looking for a photo from 3 years ago because, you know, we are celebrating our third birthday. And in looking through the photos from 3 years ago, I came across this photo of a group of people in an elevator. It was at a Designer Digital's event that I went to in Las Vegas. And it was a photo I'd taken at the end of the evening, the last night of our trip. And a group of my friends were getting in the elevator and saying goodbye. And I just picked up the camera and I shot. And then I put the camera down and I loaded the photo later. And it was blurry. It was horrible, but I didn't delete it. But I did flag it for delete. So I was looking at it, and I looked, and I realized in the corner of the elevator was Patty Knox.
Oh.
Yeah, and not only was it Patty Knox, who was a dear friend and a great advisor for me, she had the most amazing Patty smile. And, you know, a smile that just like she didn't like to be photographed. So she was really hard to get a natural smile of, because she didn't really like to be in front of the camera. And it was just like her, it was her real smile. And, I loved it. I'm so glad I didn't delete it. I'm so glad that, you know, I have that blurry bit of who she is. So That's my process. I'm sticking to it. It's proven itself worthwhile for me.
That's right. Well, I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah, and for those of you who didn't have the opportunity to know Patty Knox, she was a designer at Designer Digitals, and she passed away, unfortunately, just about this time last year. And she just really touched many, many people in the scrapbooking community with her kindness and her humor. I've never known anybody who could make me laugh more. She was a hoot. So, yeah. So, do you flag?
I do flag. That sounds funny. I feel like you're going to say flash or something.
Do you flash? Occasionally, I do bring out my flash, but not often.
Flag. I call it pick. So,
okay.
Because the shortcut for it is P, as I'm sure you know.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
And so in my brain, I'm picking the ones I want. So I go through and I do flag P, and I do that pretty quick too, pretty much on import. Sometimes I even do that before a keyword, because I do delete, so I don't want to spend the time keywording pictures that I delete. So
yeah. Okay.
So I usually pick even before I keyword, unless I've, like I said, keyworded on import. So,
yeah. I pick before I keyword as well. I don't call it pick because I don't use the P. I actually use the X. So I don't use the flag system. Well, the X is the reject. It's the the reject key.
Yeah. It is. Okay. Well, that's why I was like, you use X.
What are you doing?
Favorites. Why are you rejecting them?
I don't use the flag for my favorites.
Sorry, I'm popping over.
That's okay. We can try to talk at once, but nobody will be able to understand us.
All right. So let me understand. What you're saying is, instead of going through and picking your favorites, you're going through and immediately flagging the ones that don't think you're interested in.
Exactly.
Even though you're not going to delete them.
Even though I'm not going to delete them.
Right. You're pushing them aside.
Exactly. And then I use the star system rather than the flag. I found for me, I ended up with way too many flags.
Yeah.
And so I go to the star system. And if it's a photo I love and I absolutely know that I'm going to do something with it, then it immediately gets a 5. And that's the only rating I really use is 5. So I'm kind of using it like P.
Yeah, I do both too. I will flag a lot. And then sometimes after I've flagged a lot, then I get the 5. You know, so it's kind of like the 5 and the flag is the cream of the crop. It is the absolute best.
Yeah, that's for me too. And then once I've gone through picking or flagging, as I call it, I love that you and I are just so different.
That's all right.
It makes me laugh. Once I do that, then I go through and I keyword. And I like to do a lot of you know, selecting multiple photos. I'm trying to get into using the paint can more. And I keyword the heck out of my photos. It is not uncommon for any one photo in my catalog to have up to 5 keywords.
Mine aren't uncommon because I have so many kids. It's really easy for me to have all the keywords.
So I have one child and he will have five keywords on a photo of him.
Yeah. I keyword a little less. I do people, places, things, events. And then if something else strikes my fancy, you know, if it's a specific, I can't think of an example, but that's pretty much what I do is people, places, things, events. And then I have like little secret keywords, you know, that would mean nothing to anyone if they looked at my Lightroom, but to me, they mean something, you know, or like prompt for email, you know, JD doesn't care what that means if he's going to get into the catalog, but you know, I'll keyword it for me or interesting.
Oh, interesting. That's funny. I don't use interesting. I do use prompt, and I use for the daily email photos, I use prompt with a question if it hasn't been used, and then I use prompt used if it's been used.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't keep track of what photos have shown up in a daily email.
No. I started doing that. I wish I would have done it earlier, but I just started doing that for the end of 2013. So
yeah. Nice. So for me, mine will be adjectives and adverbs. So I'm looking at a photo of my son in at the zoo. He's eating ice cream. He has pants on that are too short. Like, it was one of those days where everything he was wearing was too small, but he insisted on wearing it. And then he's got my husband's baseball cap on. So it's just a funny photo. And I have labeled it Ian Ice Cream Zoo Love, because it makes me feel love for him. And POTD for picture of the day. And then the beauty of that, because I know somebody somewhere is thinking, why have so many keywords? The beauty of that is that when I go into my folders, into my collections rather, I have a collection that is specifically for my, a smart collection that is specifically for my pictures of the day. And so everything that I tag with picture of the day will sort into that folder, and I can quickly see them in one location. I also have a folder, a smart collection, that is just Ian, and so anything that is tagged with Ian will go into that folder, so I can see every photo of him. And it's much faster than typing it into the library filter and typing in the text. Then I also have and I think this smart collection may be in Lightroom by default. If it's not, you can create it, which is the smart collection without keywords. So I can go in and see every photo that I have missed a keyword for.
How many photos do not have keywords right now, Miss Katrina?
Oh, you're going to make me be accountable, huh?
I'll tell you mine if you tell me yours.
Okay, so what's your guess? So I'll tell you that I have 16,000... Yeah, 16,541 photos in my catalog.
And you don't keyword rejects?
I don't keyword rejects.
Okay. I'm going to say 4,000.
Oh, well, you're half right. 8,000.
Okay. I almost said 8,000, but then I thought, well, she's not going to have that many rejects. But then I didn't know how up are. I have 1,786 without keywords.
You know, the funny thing is, everybody assumes I don't have many rejects. Yeah. I have so many rejects. My standard is really high for what I find acceptable. So I have tons, and I will take. Let's see. I'm just looking at an example here that I can give specifically. So, you know, I have a photo of a glass of wine on New Year's Eve, and that's all it is. It's just a glass of wine, and you can see my husband behind it. I have 5 photos of that one glass of wine.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are a lot of rejects in there. I have, you know, it's not uncommon for me to take 5 to 10 different photos of different angles, and it's kind of planned out. I have here a picture of my son in front of a brick wall at Christmas. He's holding the one of our daily books, and it's literally, there are 12 photos of him.
Huh.
12 photos. There's only one of them I love. They all have different expressions. I'm a very prolific shooter. And, you know, I've always been a prolific shooter. I'm looking to, like, nail it. But I also know that I shoot with intent, and I shoot many photos with intent, because as all things come together, there's probably going to be one or two. So I'm not like shotgun shooting. I'm just shooting a lot.
Right. Yeah.
So how many without keywords do you have?
1,786, but my goal is to keyword everything, and I'm catching up from old digital files pre Lightroom age. And that's where I'm behind on. And then, like I said, I delete mine, so I don't have any.
You don't have
everything
those.
I keep is something I wanted for whatever reason.
So, yeah. So that actually leads to my next question. How many catalogs do you use?
I only use one, but I am not a prolific shooter, and I, as we know, delete a lot. So I only have one catalog right now. I tried splitting them up, but then I decided I got annoyed always having to shut down Lightroom and flop back and forth if I wanted something from a different catalog.
Yeah.
So I put them all together, and so far, I mean, mine only has 11,000 pictures. So it's not a gigantic catalog, and it's running fine, you know, because I've heard that maybe if it's big, you might have some issues. But on my new iMac especially, it zings. It's fast. It's fast. There's no slowdown. Yeah.
Yeah. So I actually have I use it differently than you do.
Yeah.
I have my 16,000 photos is just 2013 and 14.
Right.
I decided to put those 2 years together, and I'm been toying and I'm thinking this will happen when I go to the cloud. I'm gonna bring together a few older years into one catalog, because I have easily 10 catalogs. I have catalogs by year. So I have a catalog for each year from 2008. And then I also have catalogs when I was shooting other people more often. I would create a catalog specific to that shoot. And what I've found, because I didn't want those like gumming up my personal photos. But what I've found is, you know, I don't shoot that much for other people anymore. It's just not something that I have a tremendous amount of time for and not exactly where my love is. I love shooting my own family. And so I'm going to consolidate a lot of my catalogs, which, you know, adds to the time, and maybe I won't actually ever do it, but I do want to bring those together and haven't even begun to scan old photos. I don't think I can go there.
I need to do that. And, yeah, let's not talk about that one right now. I do remember, I did forget, I do have another catalog. It has all of my Journey Via pictures in it. And from the previous years that I collected from other photographers for my church project. And it has about 2,000 pictures in it. And I kept it apart for the exact same reason, because I didn't want them getting mixed. And I wanted them to be in their own place. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. That makes sense. Yeah.
Did you import your collect cards in?
I did not import my collect cards in. I was tempted to. I thought about it. But then my collect cards have ended up in like three places already.
Right.
So I'm going to let that be good enough. I do import, however, all of my iPhone photos.
Yes.
So they're in my regular catalog right along with everything else from my DSLR and my point and shoot and my son's point and shoot. Those are all in my catalogs as well.
Right. And mine has all of my iPhone, my kiddos, if they've done anything or used a different camera, and it has all of my digital scrapbook files.
Yeah.
I pull in there.
Okay.
And yeah, so but that's not a lot. That's only maybe 300 total on that side. But it just, the reason I did that, though, is because then they're all in one place, and I can sort them, like you just were talking about, super fast in those collections,
mm-hmm.
you know, a keyword here or there, and I can see anything I want to see.
Yeah.
Thing, so.
Yeah, smart collections are just such a nice feature, just so that you're not searching, you're not spending a lot of time looking for stuff. And one of the things that I do in the half of my life where I am a trainer is that I teach a class called Managing Time and Priorities. You can laugh at me for teaching that if you'd like.
Laughing with you.
Oh, okay. And one of the bits of information I always share in that class is that on average, we waste about 2 hours a day looking for things. It is my smart collections are my attempt to whittle away some of that 2 hours so that I get that time back. I don't know how well I'm doing with that, but that's my intent anyway.
No, I agree. I have a whole bunch of smart collections set up based on topics or people or dates or, you know, and like when we were talking about keywording, I'll keyword family if it has more than one person in it, like if it's a formal family shot, or brothers, if it's a picture of all five of the boys together, you know, or two people, you know, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Cousins, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, and then
nice.
I have smart categories that will pull up just like my side of the family, Foster, or, you know, JD's mm-hmm. side of the family, the buses, etc. So I can see them really quickly if I'm looking for a picture of great grandma or something.
Yeah. So my favorite smart collection
Uh-huh.
is red.
Oh, okay. of pictures that are red.
They're pictures that have, they're red. Exactly.
What's your, I'm like, you flagged them red?
No,
red?
No.
Red. Yeah.
They're red. They have the element red in them somewhere. They're just something I like to do. And that's the beauty of the smart collection. You know, you can make it work any way that you want, any way that you know you're going to be looking up something. Just a fun way to do it. Yeah. Anything else in the library module that you do that's unique to you, or that you couldn't live without?
Well, I don't know if it's unique. I'm sure it's not unique to me.
Well, compared to me, it probably is.
but I have set up custom keyword sets. You have those?
You know, I've not taken the time. I've started a couple of them, okay. And then I always forget I have them.
The reason I do that probably is because I have such a big family. Mm-hmm. And so I have, mainly the things I have are things, for instance, it shows 9 names. So one of them is just family. And then it has my name and JD's name, all the boys' name. And then it says family and brothers. So mm-hmm. I get all 9. And so if you're, I don't know how familiar our listeners are with the keyword suggestions. You have 2 areas where Lightroom will make some suggestions for you, or you can already tell it, show me this custom set. And then all the names are right there, and I can click on their names very quickly. So I have sets for some holiday things. I have sets for different family, like extended families. So if I was having an Easter celebration with my sister's family, and I took all these pictures, I can really quickly switch to their family and tag them very easily.
Yeah. So I have a family set. Okay. And this just, again, our comparison, right. It has 5 names in it.
Yeah.
I have more family members than that, but right, I don't tend to have a lot of photos of them. So mine is just kind of immediate family. And my mom shows up in a lot of my photos, so she's included in that set. And then I also have... We'll see if you have this one. I have a gardening set.
I do have it. I don't have a set just for gardening. I call it landscape, and it has gardening in it.
Okay.
It has to do with around my house.
Okay.
Like garden, pond, barn, stuff like that.
Yeah, I love my gardening set, and it has tomato in there as a specific as a specific keyword, because that's a go-to one a lot. And then I don't have a smart category for tomato, but I really should. Should. That would be a good one. So are you a keyboard shortcut user, or do you rely on the menus, or do you do a bit of both?
Both, although I think I'm probably fairly shortcut menu the most. Mm-hmm. One letter at a time, or command in that letter is the way I'd prefer to do it and move my hand less. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that I kind of do both. I use a lot of the keywords, and then every now and then I find myself like, I don't know what that keyword is, so I'll
right.
just go to the menus. But I do a little bit of both. So, and the cool thing is that you can do either. It just depends on what you like.
Yeah. Usually I figure out if I'm doing it a lot, then I'll go look at the menu and look for the keyword mm-hmm. or the shortcut. Because if I'm always having to go to the menu, then I figure there's a keyword for that, a shortcut for that.
Right.
Keyboard is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, keyboard. Board.
Keyboard.
Lots of keys.
A keyboard shortcut. And, like my favorite one, I think, is that I use a lot is L. Use L a lot?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I use L all the time because mm-hmm. that will make the screen go black, like lights mm-hmm. out, and show you the picture all by itself in a big mode.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
I use F a lot to go to full screen.
F. Yes.
So that it's taken up all the real estate on my screen. I love that.
Yeah.
And then I do a lot of G and D. So
yes.
G for the library, which I don't get G for library, but I remember it,
right.
even though it makes no logical sense to me. And then D to get to the develop mode. What was, for you, what was the biggest learning curve moving to Lightroom? Do you remember?
I don't know if I remember, because I really like learning new things. So mm-hmm. I think the biggest learning curve just overall was figuring out what worked for me, and trying, because I like to learn new things. So it was really easy for me to jump in and read your tutorial at that point. Or, mm-hmm. Start searching on Google. I have a couple different books that have different workflows. And so I see all these different people's approaches. And so the learning curve was, what is really going to work for me and help me to use Lightroom best?
Yeah.
You know, so I try two or three different things for a few days and then kind of stumble on, this really works for me and this is perfect versus, okay, that's an extra step. It doesn't help. It's just bogging me down. I'm never going to look for that, you know, maybe, hopefully.
Yeah.
And cut that step out or something.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. You know, I remember just like the first time I opened it, just not getting it, just like, where do I even begin? And now that's hard for me to even remember because it's so like work across, work down, you know, start in the library mode, work from, you know, the top down and develop mode, work from the top down. And that's really helped me to tackle that. But I've also been using it for a really long time. And I think that definitely makes it easier. So cool, Kelly, this has been a cool conversation. Let's go ahead and, talk about what's in, what we've seen in the gallery this week. I almost forgot. And so the photos that we've seen in the gallery, what do you have a pick for us?
I do. I spent a lot of time going through the gallery today. I thought, wow, I went all the way back to February 20th to find one that just really, there were some great ones, but I was just, I don't know, looking for the one that jumped out at me. And this one is by Mel, and he's, I think, one of the newer members for this year.
He is. And he's been posting frequently, and he's been posting really great photos frequently.
He has. Really great. And this one is perfect. It's called Escape. And he says, one of my favorite spots to escape to. The weather was actually quite nice today. Temps were in the 50s. Decided to go with the black and white theme since the river was quite dirty, brownish, from all the runoff of melting snow. So the picture is a river shot, and it's black and white, but he's got a nice slow shutter speed. So we have that nice blurring of the river. And I think, you know, going black and white was a perfect shot because it doesn't look dirty or mucky. It just looks wintry to me because you can still see the snow. It looks cold to me. And it's got some different layers. And I tend to always go for the close-up with the bokeh background. And I really wanted to find one that had me looking at it for a long time, you know, and looking at the different rocks. You know, my eyes are drawn straight to the blur first and to the little tiny waterfall. And then it's, okay, well, what's on the bank behind it? You know, what's over there? Oh, there's a little bit of snow left on that far side.
Nice.
So I just thought it was really, and there's some steps. See, I didn't even notice the steps till right now because they're kind of hidden in the lower part of the frame.
Yeah. Don't you love when there's just so much goodness in one frame?
Yeah.
And I love that you picked a slow shutter speed photo. You know, we so often use our shutter speed to stop action and forget that other side of it where you can do really cool things with water. And the irony, and this wasn't even set up, is that that's what we'll be practicing in March in the practice class. We're talking all about shutter speed and doing some work with slow shutter speed as well.
Kind of fun. I agree.
Yeah. So thanks, Mel, for sharing your photo and beautiful, beautiful one.
Definitely.
So I, once again, chose my photo in a totally different way than you did.
Yeah.
I opened up the gallery yesterday. It was the first photo that caught my eye. And I was like, that is my photo.
That's it.
That is my pick. That's my pick because it's such a clever photo. And it was for the prompt, Cat in the Hat. That you know, I was curious to see like how many actual cats we were going to see in a hat, how many people were going to do a take on Dr. Seuss, and so I'm assuming this is a she. This is by J-S-O-C-R-C-H-I-K, J-Sorchik. I don't know the name, and I apologize for that. So let us know in the comments what your name is so that we can give you credit. And her take on Dr. Seuss's birthday was to line up four shoes, and there are two larger shoes and two little shoes, and then she has actually typed on the photo left foot, left foot, right foot, right. Oh, how many feet we meet. And this is meaningful to me in a couple of ways. One, it's got a nice pop of reddish orange, which really is eye catching. It's such a great everyday, moment because the you see the different shoes. There's such a part of like life right now, because you know in 5 years those shoes are all going to be gone, and it's you know it's set up beautifully. But then it really got me because this was one of our favorite books when Ian was born. We actually bought the book. The Foot Book by Dr. Seuss. Ian was born with a clubbed foot, and so we went through serial casting of his foot. I've written a couple of blog posts about that experience, and so it just really resonated with me. I love the book, and such a clever way of capturing the prompt.
Yeah, it is one of our favorite books here too. I'm still reading it to my littlest one. I think I just read it 2 days ago, because I thought I'm going to collect all those books, and make a picture of the Dr. Seuss books, but I didn't get that done. Yeah. But yeah, I love it. I love it. Me. I love Donald Duck on there.
So me cute. Too. Me yeah. too. The Donald Duck just really balances it nicely. You know, it's a little off center, and it gives it a nice little bit, a nice little yeah. touch. And there's just so much goodness in there. I love shoe photos.
Yeah,
I don't like feet photos, but I love shoe photos.
And I would like to know what she took it on. If she put a piece of, you know, poster board on the floor and just set them down, or if she has a nice, I'm just kind of curious if that's a counter, what she took them on, because that really is a simple shot. You know, I mean, it's nothing elaborate, and I always wonder, you know. So.
Yeah, and the lighting's really nicely even. So yeah, there is a lot that this can make you wonder about. So hopefully she will post and let us know, because it is just a really really fun shot. So thanks for sharing that one. So Kelly, what's in your bag?
What's in my bag? Well, I picked the You Keep Shooting with Brian Peterson podcast from Adorama.
Nice.
It's actually a video cast, and it's free, and it's only 5 minutes, which is why I love it, because what happens is Brian Peterson, as you know, we have addiction to his book, we say.
Absolutely. Yeah, he wrote the book Understanding Exposure, and he's got several others.
Yeah, he's got several others that I have on my shelf, and I love it because they go on site with him. And usually it's 3 to 5 minutes. He says, here's the shot we're going for. Here's the things you need to do to get this shot. And look here, we did it. And so in 5 minutes, you learn a simple landscape technique, or you learn a composition technique, and he gives you a nice little example. And so it's just nice, short, to the point, in and out. You know, it's perfect.
Yeah, and you get to see his hair.
Yeah. It's got some flyaway stuff there, but it's and sometimes he's got a class, so sometimes he has with him and they're their pictures, or so I just save them for when I'm doing something mundane. I'm start chopping something and I'll watch two or three in a row and then move on. So
he's really talented, and I have seen a couple of those. And he just gets right to it. Like there's no, you don't have to wait forever to get to the point, which is really nice for those of us who, you know, who have lots of life going on, which I think is every single one of us.
Yeah. Well, that's what I like about it, because I actually have to watch it, you know, usually. That's why I like it's 5 minutes, because I give it my attention and then I move on, versus some things, you know, you can listen to and not really have to look at, or, you know, move around and keep yourself occupied. But
yeah.
Perfect. What about yours?
Mine is actually it's a blog by Victoria Bampton called thelightroomqueen.com. And she is truly the Lightroom Queen. She has bunches of books on ebooks on Lightroom, and has written the series The Missing FAQ for every edition of Lightroom, and literally just packed with information about how to use Lightroom. I have the missing FAQ for 4, and it's just a one of those things that I go to often to learn my way around Lightroom, and especially those areas of Lightroom that I don't use often. It's a great go-to for me. And she also has on her website the Lightroom 5 Quick Start Guide for any of you diving into Lightroom 5 for the first time. And it's a free download. And it's huge. It's packed. It's got such good information. It's 76 pages. It's beautifully laid out. And she goes from the very basics of, you know, how do you even get started? What's the workflow? Where are my photos? How do I install it? All the way through, you know, through printing and finishing up your photo. So it's a great free resource for learning Lightroom. Yeah. So good stuff.
Yeah. Good I follow stuff. Her. I learn a lot from her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like when she has new books out, I always buy them. They're really affordable, and she does a great job of sending updates as she finds them. So that you know, you don't have to buy like version 2. She'll give you those updates so that you've got the right stuff if something is wrong. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. All my stuff is outdated. Like all my Lightroom books are Lightroom.
Yeah, books. Yeah,
and, yeah. So
I'm looking forward to jumping into Lightroom 5 and using some of its unique features over Lightroom 4, and she will be there as my guide. So awesome. So this has been fun, Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we didn't even talk about the weather.
No. Weather here.
No weather. All right. No weather here either. although we do have new chicks in the house, so.
Ah.
Which tells me that there's weather coming of the warmer type. So, and hopefully to you too soon. So just a reminder again about the birthday bash on March 8th. And you can sign up for that webinar, and we'll be there for 12 hours on Saturday. You know, as I say that out loud, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm crazy. What are we thinking?
Yeah.
But
I
lots
not
of
be there
good
for
stuff.
12 hours. I'm sorry. I'll be there for like 6, maybe.
Well, I'm gonna, you know, I there are some things that are kind of gonna go on autopilot for 30 right. minute stretches, so that while those videos are running, I'm gonna, you know, do jumping jacks and push ups and things to stay active, so that I'm not sitting in a chair for 12 hours. And we are gonna have some photo taking going on during that time too.
It'll be fun. I think there will be a lot of people like me that will come in for 2 or 3 hours and have to take a break or have some responsibilities. So just come when you can come. Doesn't
That's
matter
right.
if you come into the middle of a supposed, you know, scheduled session or something. Just come. Just join in.
Exactly. Because I am giving up all responsibility that day. My husband's taking my child. They're going to do their thing. And then he's got a sleepover. And then we'll wrap up just in time for me to have date night with my hubby. So it should be a good day. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you again, Kelly, for being here. And as always, thanks everybody for tuning in to Capture Your 365's podcast. You can find us at captureyour365.com, where you'll find ideas and inspiration for your everyday photography. Have a great afternoon, and hopefully we'll see you for our third birthday party on Saturday.